It's a trap, you walked right into the hate. All over a new king, that's face is just replaced. It's all the same, used to be ruled by force. And no matter who it is, he'll still carry on the torch. Just a lie, cheat, steal, half of what you make. Taxation is theft, it's time to vacate the state. Newsflash, all your cash is an IOU from killers who really do steal from you. Inflation is a weapon used by every nation who says that they're saving the world through lies. If they disguise and pass off as bravery, well, I got news, debt is slavery. It don't matter who's madder, a new master don't matter. When they both want the same, the state don't play no games. They got you trying to survive and put you on sides and ready to kill each other. That's conquer and divide. It's all for show, all for hyper control.
That's a fucking get on the ground. He's got a gun, boy.
And we're back with another episode of Bones and Tubs. We're here to give you everything you want to hear and more.
I feel like we haven't done this in a month. Has it been that long?
It always feels that long between shows. I tell you that right now.
Work is a motherfucker.
Yeah. But we're here. You know, we've, you know, I feel like, you know, in the time between shows, we always grow a little bit.
Yeah.
At least I hope we do.
I grow a lot.
You know, I've been.
Mentally.
It's January, the second shittiest month of the year, in my honest opinion. The shittiest one's coming up. I hate February.
Why?
It's so shitty.
Yeah.
It's just terrible.
It's historical.
No. It has nothing to do with that.
You cut me off. It's historically a cold month.
Yeah. It's always ass cold. Like fucking like goddamn ground's frozen solid. Fucking everything's frozen.
I tell you, man, I've had SADS going on. Not sudden adult death syndrome. That new disease that they just made up. But seasonal affective disorder?
I got out of it. I don't know what I did.
Nah, I've been going hard.
Mine hit like right around after Christmas and brought me down for like 2-3 weeks. But then the last week or so, I feel like I've been brought back up. It's been good.
That's good. I'm glad for you.
Yeah. I started working on a home project, so that's kind of helping too.
I need to do more things. I think mine will fix itself when I'm able to go back. As most of you know, I've been working the day shift, mm-hmm. and I'm not a day shift guy. Can't do it.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go back to night shift. I start in less than a week. That'll give me time. You know how much activities I was able to accomplish before a night shift?
Probably quite a bit.
I was able to wake up. Of course, I didn't drink any beer.
Yeah.
Didn't do that, because you can't drink before work.
No.
But I could go to the gym. I could go walk in the woods. I could go troll around in a fucking creek. All in less than 6 hours of work. I could ground my bare feet on the ground. I could get sunlight. I can't do any of that shit on day shift.
Yeah.
I come home and my children are screaming at me in German.
Yeah.
To get in line. You know, get in that line.
Yeah.
And it's the shower line. I'm not even worthy of physical labor on day shift.
Yeah.
But all that's going to change.
I get it.
In less than 6 days. And I can't wait.
That's good.
Man. I'm so excited.
I'm excited for you, you know.
How sad is it that I'm excited for wage slavery? You know, I haven't figured a way out of the box yet in order to trade physical items for money. I have to trade my time, which is the only unreplaceable currency.
Well, you know, if here soon, you know.
The dollar collapses?
If you know, that's a possibility or fucking. You know, people are saying the quiet part aloud about Russia being at war with NATO already or
Man.
Anything like that.
Did you get a link from Dr. Doug earlier?
I don't know.
He sent me a link to the old Alex Jones show from, I believe it was from today, the first 5 minutes. He's like, just listen to the first 5 minutes. So I did it. And they were saying the quiet parts out loud at Davos.
Davos. They don't give a shit anymore. I was watching some fucking clips from that shit. They don't care.
I want to know.
They're just doubting out with it.
What the actual meeting is now. Because it used to be Bilderberg and nobody talked about it. But now, I'm sure there's private shit they don't film at the WEF in Davos. But like, Klaus Schwab was talking about this upcoming cyber attack that's going to get rid of our infrastructure. Like, okay.
Like, Davos to me is like straight up like one of those meetings in a James Bond movie. Like, yeah. Spectre.
Yeah,
like,
Spectre.
Like
100%. And
Klaus Schwab is definitely like
he looks like he's
what's
from
his
the
fucking
movie.
Blowfield. You know what I'm talking about? Look at the fucking cat in his lap. It's Dr. Evil. You know what I mean?
He
dresses like Blowfield or Dr. Evil.
He's a fucking clown, man. There has to be somebody scarier than him. He's like the public face. He's the clown.
Like, that's the thing. Like, the fiction exists. Reality is stranger than fiction because in James Bond, we know those are the bad guys.
Yeah.
Right? Because James Bond's the good guy. He works for.
Do you think the cat was bad?
The cat's just a cat, man. Cats are inherently bad anyways. They're evil.
Oh, they stop spirits because they're the ones that want to torture
you. Before anybody comes at me, I got three of those fuckers. I got three of those house demons.
Tubbs loves pussy.
I'm fucking loaded down with pussy.
You're surrounded.
Yeah.
Yeah, at all times.
Yeah. But, like, we know those are the bad guys. But in this reality, like I said, it's stranger than fiction because, like, people look at that. Like, they're, like, we're, to me, I almost feel like we're the outliers, right?
Yeah.
But then again, I've never met anybody that was for Davos, but at the same time, they're doing it and nobody's doing anything about it.
I'm so certain that there's somebody, like if you and I started a social experiment where we went and hung out at Starbucks and we just started chatting up the locals.
Is there like Klaus Schwab stands out there?
There has to be. There has to be, like if we were talking about it and we dressed like intellectuals, you know, like we're important and maybe we dyed our hair or something, got a nose ring. And then we were just talking about it. Somebody undoubtedly through the end of that experiment at least once would come up and be like, I really like the work that they're doing.
Yeah, I tell you, I've taken here lately to just like if I'm watching TikToks and I see some person who fits the bill talking about some chronically online shit. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I've taken to just typing in the comment typical.
They're probably going to make that a racial slur that you can't use anymore. Kind of like so brave. You can't use the word brave anymore.
It's either like, I either say typical or
excuse me.
Something along the lines of like, you look like the kind of person that would believe something like that.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Can I take.
Like, is there like a, it's almost as if like they strive for years to act like they're nonconformist, right?
Yeah.
But, like, so conformist. Man, they fucking, it's like they have a uniform, right?
Well, I've got a uniform picture right here.
Let's see it.
Okay, so we're going to do a thought experiment real quick.
Okay.
I think I heard about this on the JRE, which is, you know, the most important podcast in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you type in Klaus Schwab dressed as a villain.
Okay.
Have you done this?
I think I've seen what you're talking about.
But you just go to images after you type that in. The first one's nice because it's profile. But yeah. Then you go down here to, what's that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the fifth picture, and you got a full body. He's dressed like he's at a graduation of Satan. Like, what the fuck is going on with that outfit? What's this?
Yeah, right?
What's going on here with his neck? Just everybody,
you know what's funny is,
do yourselves a favor.
If people want to put this level of shit on the Masons, like, and I'm here to tell you right now, what he's wearing has no Mason symbology on it. You know what I mean? Like,
Scientia Ignium Virtus.
Virtus means truth. I know that much.
Virtus? V-I-R-T-U-S?
V-I-R-T-U-S.
I figured that was virtue.
It could be virtue.
And then they've got like a weird, apparently a two-cocked.
You know what that, for, I don't know. Dicks. I don't know why, but that looks like a papal thing to me.
They've got a nine-pointed star with a sun in the middle.
Huh.
I don't like that. The number 9 is never good in numerology.
It's a funny number.
He's not funny, though. He's here to fuck pussy and boys.
Just boys.
And take your... Yeah, you're right. Boy pussy. He's here to get your bussy, and he's going to get that money.
That face says to me that he doesn't care for pubic hair.
No.
You know what I mean?
Or that's crow's feet.
Yeah.
He likes them young. Young and hung.
He likes them like, you know, like marble works, you know, just no hair.
Yeah.
Just fucking.
Smooth.
Yeah, naked mole rat style. Yeah,
I bet.
Because he looks like one. That's his type.
Yeah, and he sounds like a Bond villain, too. If you haven't done the treat of going and listening to that fucking lizard talk, you should go look him up on the YouTube and see what you think. But yeah, I kind of thought of a way to save the world.
Okay.
Now, keep in mind, these 12-hour shifts, they have me like a cow. Like, I'm the only cow at this massive milk factory.
Yeah.
And all the machines want to suck me at once.
Okay.
So I just get so sleepy after the end of a shift.
Yeah.
I just want vitamins, and I want to replenish my udders. But.
Just a quiet, soft moo.
Moo. Moo. Cries and moo. But, I remember what I was saying. My brain's so fried.
Mm-hmm.
Please tell me so I don't fuck that up.
You're talking about being a cow.
Before that.
Fuck Klaus Schwab.
Oh, damn it.
I
know. I hate this when I do this and I edit and I'm like, you're an idiot. No, but anyway.
You're talking about work and how work treats you like
a
cow.
I did something at work. I was listening to his voice maybe. I don't know. If you haven't done that, go treat yourself. I'm going to have to delete that. I thought I was going somewhere and my brain was like, go to sleep, bitch.
You did the mental version of like the Family Guy skit where Peter falls on the ground and hits his knee. He's like, just completely blanked out. I get it.
I saw one the other day where he was, he'd forgot who he was and he got hit in the head by the chicken several times and he kept remembering and forgetting who he was. But he ended on remembering and I'm not right there. So
that's great. Speaking of people getting hit in the head multiple times.
Oh, yeah. Like,
do you like that segue? That was it's kind of grim for real.
Yeah, I mean, but it should be grim because that shit's fucking terrible.
Listen, so I'm sure most of you out there have seen what happened in Memphis with Tyre Nichols. Is that his name?
So I was trying to look up. I'm a fucking Tyre Nichols. You did a good job there.
Yeah.
Yes, Tyre Nichols.
So, if you don't know already, I'm sure you do. Most people would.
Well, what happened? I didn't hear about it.
Tyre Nichols got beat to death.
Really? Probably by racist white cops, I bet.
Not this time.
I hate racist white cops.
But they did try to tie it back to white.
I saw that article.
It doesn't matter, but it's still white supremacy.
How white supremacy could have involved itself in the murder. Shut the fuck up.
Oh, man. They're always fucking trying for that, aren't they?
How much longer can this go on? I thought the media would finally lose any credibility it had when they were talking about how it's transphobic for a straight man not to want to date a trans woman.
Don't they know that eventually, like, using white people as a scapegoat is just going to, it's going to fail them? Is that maybe, what if this is a dimensional chess thing we're not realizing? Because you see it all the time, right?
Everywhere.
See the blatant, crazy shit people say. Like, there's a fucking school board member in fucking Michigan, a school board member who was saying that fucking white people are more dangerous than animals.
Oh, fuck yourself.
Like, crazy shit.
Go and walk around where grizzly bears are, faggot.
And people are, saying, they went to the meeting, you need to fucking resign. And she doubled down on her shit.
She leaned in on it.
Like, holy fuck.
Leaning in on her.
That's some next level shit right there.
Fuck it, man. And
she's just allowed to walk around.
She probably listened to the show. She's one of those people that hates on us. And she heard you say lean in. And she was like, I know that's right.
Said that we were, I think it was along the lines of, we were more dangerous than animals.
Yeah.
There was something else to it, too. She said some fucking straight up heinous shit, just putting every single fucking caucasoid in a box.
Yeah.
And saying that
that's where they belong, in the box.
And that's the thing, though, but I just don't understand what the end game with is. It almost makes me think that the powers that be want it to lose its potency and power because you could scapegoat us for a while, but inevitably that's the thing. What's the end game in this? Because generally speaking, when you start scapegoating a group of people, right.
Mm-hmm.
The end game is that you're going to exterminate them. Right.
Yeah.
But the thing is that I just don't see that happening considering we're the largest ethnic group in the country. Right.
Yeah.
It would be It would be like the reverse of the Holocaust. Instead of the fucking Germans going after the Jews, it'd be the Jews going after the Germans. That doesn't make any fucking sense. What's their fucking endgame in this? You want us to apologize? For what? I didn't do fucking jack and shit.
I'm here to tell you that one of the more interesting things about this travesty. So we watched the video.
Yeah, sorry I got off topic.
No, you're fine. I get it. We watched the video and in my mind's eye, I was thinking I'll watch it and then we could look at it from a stereotypical officer perspective where it's okay, let's see what amount of force was necessary and when did they cross the line. And it pretty much crossed the line probably from around the beginning.
Yeah.
And then it just went into a 6-minute murder fest.
How are you going to tell someone multiple times, give me your hands, put your hands behind your back, and you literally have control of their hands? We're talking, okay.
Andy got on the ground.
I don't care. You could be the biggest motherfucker who works out fucking fucking 6 hours a day, 7 days a week. Be the biggest and be on fucking Dianabol. Is that what it is?
Which one?
Steroids.
Oh, if you're gonna get
think of the biggest fucking like
yeah
no, goddamn monster.
I mean, Dianabol will make you big, but what about Trenbolone? That should make you angry too.
But think about like.
Or Halo like, test.
You could have you could have the biggest motherfucker who fucking works out 7 days a week, 6 hours a day, and is on steroids. And five dudes, I don't care who the fuck you are, five dudes are still going to be able to take you down.
Yeah.
Like, the movies aren't real, everybody.
Well, like I said, I didn't see it from the very beginning on the way that, like, I haven't watched the full 26 minutes. But the ones that I've seen, he appeared to run in a car, I guess, because he did not run from the car, from what I saw. They ordered him out of the car with guns drawn. He's like, okay, 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 okay. They're giving him orders. They said it was a total of 71 commands in 13 minutes. And he complied, and he was on the ground. And the next thing you know, they're just stomping this dude out.
Yeah.
And punching him and beating the fuck out of him. And my favorite conspiracy theory that's now been scrubbed from Google... It was in the top of the searches as of yesterday. Tyree Nichols sleeping with officer's wife. And it led you to a Reddit page. That's not on the top search anymore. Now, you go down to the top search. Demetrius, which is the cop, allegedly sent pics of Tyree's body to X. And there's like a whole Reddit thread going on about all this shit. And now they're like Snopesing it. Like, nope, that's not true. Okay, okay, Snopes.
I wouldn't take Snopes for it for anything. I mean, it's still a conspiracy theory, though. Until, like, we see shit hit the light of day.
Well, like you said, too, there's also rumors about the officers or some of the officers being gang affiliated. Well,
does it, at this point,
look like
though,
a gang hit.
At this point, though, considering the severity, like, if that's true, what does it hurt that that would come out at this point? All five of those motherfuckers are going to prison.
Throw them under the coals with all their white asses. I hate these white motherfuckers, man.
But...
when can we just come together and quit looking at race and realize that authority...
Another racial angle that they're going with this is how quickly, like, justice has been swift with this.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, it's so... like, that's the thing that, like, even with the George Floyd thing...
Yeah.
Like, there was question as to whether or not... and even today, I think it's kind of still an open-air thing, whether or not was it... was the officer who killed George Floyd, or was it because George Floyd was on a bunch of fucking drugs? Or was it a combination of both things? It was probably a combination of both things.
Well, the reason why they didn't do that whole national fucking drag show where they just drugged the story out and made everybody watch it and didn't deliberate for a long time, I think, and this is my own conspiracy, this is a Bones official, okay, TM.
Yeah.
TM.
Yeah.
The Twitter files... and Project Veritas dropped some shit this week.
Oh, yeah.
That fucking Pfizer video?
Yeah.
You watched that, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Shit the bed.
Yeah.
Like, they scrubbed that motherfucker's LinkedIn account. They scrubbed his whole employment records.
Good thing somebody took screenshots.
Yeah. Whoopsie.
Yeah.
So, and took video, thank God. But, yeah, there's a lot of shit going on, and they didn't have time for that whole fucking fiasco to be like a side story. They needed to cover it up now. Now, my question is this, because I sound like a crazy person. Like, what do they have, a fucking button that they just push in a certain area? Because you certainly aren't going to be able to contract somebody who's not under mind control to go throw their fucking life away to kill a fucking dude.
So
just to cover up it. Like, does that make sense?
This is what I think, is that... it's okay. There's what 370 million people in this country at this point,
something like that. Clearly, too many. If you listen to the left.
And any given day, in any major city in this country, there's some fuck shit of some degree going on, and you could amplify it. That's all it really is. I think.
So it just happened, and they wouldn't have made a deal out of it, and it wouldn't have been a fucking issue. You think if it wasn't like that's not what they wanted. So they just zoomed in on it, and they were like, amplify this.
I mean, that could be. Because the thing is, like I said before, though, like, people have been pointing out, like, how swift justice was. They're like, what about Breonna Taylor's incident and all that? And it's like, here's the thing with a lot of these things you're pointing out is that...
here's the
like,
thing, Jack.
There was... and I'm not trying to justify anything, but I think when it comes to things like that, like you look, you mentioned these cases, and it's like there's gray area in them. Yeah. This one isn't really gray. They beat the living fuck out of that dude for fucking 6 minutes straight.
Literally.
And then waited 20 minutes to call the EMTs.
Man.
To come get him. Like, it's a pretty cut and dry case of police brutality at this point. I mean, you want to say that, like, justice isn't swift? The last time in my recollection that something, like, was so blatant that there was no question of it, you have to go back a long time, but you go back to Rodney King. Mm. That blew up right away. There was no sweeping that under the rug or anything like that. It got caught on camera.
What's crazy is, too, that happened before YouTube and all that shit.
And Rodney King lived.
Yeah.
And it still blew up the way it did. And there were still riots because of it. Like, I think it's just it's a matter of severity. Like, where you have fucking, like I said, George Floyd dying and people being like, well, did he die from asphyxiation, or well, let's wait and see what it was.
Because what would have been funnier, and I mean that in the most like unfunny way, would have been like the tox report that they got back from his body if it was just one of the cops' piss,
like just urine,
yeah,
straight urine.
Yeah, no, well, that's what I mean. Like the cop pissed fentanyl and meth and all that shit. They're like, look how fucked up he was. That's what killed him.
Yeah,
that's about where we're at.
It just seems like they the spin doctors will use anything they can to make it racial.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. This might have been used as a distraction simply because, like you said, because Project Veritas hit and with their new thing.
And that Twitter file shit.
At the same time. And it popped and they were like, we need something quick.
They're losing control of the narrative.
Because normally I feel like considering the players involved.
Yeah.
In this situation, we might have never heard of it.
Right. Never would have known.
Like, we never would have heard of this.
They had covered it up with cat videos and thoughts.
Like, when I first heard the news of it, like, unfortunately, my assumption is when something like that makes national news, my first assumption is there is some sort of racial dynamic to be played at here.
Yeah.
There's a reason for it. But then I was like, oh, huh.
Now, yeah. Let me ask you the same question that Peter, I think it was his name, Peter Dovich, Dushnik, I don't remember, whatever. He's a White House press corps guy, and he's the one that always shits on the press secretary.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
I'm going to ask you the question that he asked the White House press secretary.
Okay.
What four-letter word did you use when you found out that Joe Biden had these, you know, unrestrained, uncontrolled classified documents? But I'm going to ask you, what was the first four-letter word you used when you watched that video? Because clearly you probably used a four-letter word when you were watching it, like, fuck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, goddamn.
Usually, if I'm my first reaction, usually I say, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's my go-to. Like, if something takes me 100% by surprise. So it's not really, I mean, I guess it is a four-letter word, but yeah, like... It's an expression with a four-letter word. Oh, shit.
Yeah. I think the jury of the Bones and Tubbs trial will allow it.
It's like when a couple weeks ago, I saw that video. I think it was out of Texas where dude goes in with a fake gun. I think we talked about it on the show before.
Shot the fuck out of
it. Tries to rob a restaurant.
How'd that work out?
And dude fucking pulls out.
Yeah.
And the first time I'm watching this video, I'm like sitting here watching it.
Da-da-da.
And all of a sudden, like, the first few shots didn't get me. I didn't say nothing. I knew it was a shooting.
It's right? That tap at the end, right?
Yeah, it was the last shot when he just like walks up. He's like, "Bam!" And I was just like, "I was like, oh shit!"
You know that guy watched too many zombie movies not to make sure.
I was like, "Oh, that's a bad one."
Yeah, I got a message earlier on the chat from our homeboy Ryan, who has historically asked me for your secret concoction. Vitamins and minerals and other things that were used to increase the we talked about it before, so I gave it to him. Yeah. That was the last time we talked, and then today he said we need an episode as soon as possible talking about Tyre Nichols, and I said we're recording tonight and I'm sure we're gonna stomp that one in.
Yeah.
And
he needed my proprietary blend.
Yes, he did. You should sell that shit. That's how we'll make our millions. We'll start a supplement store.
As long as my face gets to be on the, like...
It has to be.
On the jar.
I want you to be angry looking, too. Like that Ram Damsey guy on TikTok.
I feel like it was just two things, right?
It was, I have it here. It was zinc or ZMA with wheat germ.
Yeah.
And so I think you might have fucked around with a head of lettuce, didn't you?
No.
Oh, I thought you did.
It was a matter of like, but it was also a matter of the last step is to reserve yourself for a couple days.
Yeah, you got to kind of save the seed.
You got to savor yourself.
For planting, of course, or facial.
For surprises.
Yes. I hope that worked out for you, Ryan. You got to let us know in the chat.
Yes.
But,
I was whipping ropes all over the place, bro. Thanks.
It was a ghost. It was ectoplasm covered in semen.
He gave her a pearl necklace, bro.
Yeah, pearl necklace that covered her body. She looked like that mummy. He said that shit was tragic. I was in Memphis this weekend during the protest, and I was like, that's fucking nuts. And I said that they're ramping shit up again on purpose. And he said everything thankfully stayed peaceful in Memphis, but Atlanta and New York caught hell. It's about to go downhill, though. Like, of course it is. And I text Corey. I'm sorry. I text the El Presidente yesterday, I believe it was. Or it might have been Joy Coco. McClanahan. I don't remember. But I said, thankfully, I got all my Christmas decorations down because it's almost BLM riot month. That's like their go-to. How fucking disgusting is it that they're... I mean, clearly, we need to have a... We need to have a black guest on to talk about this shit because I would feel more offended, like, than anyone else in the conversation... To be,
and that's the thing.
To be a black American and to have these fucking media heads and these government motherfuckers clearly moving the narrative to make your culture violent. They're using you as a scapegoat.
I have sat down in the past with Brown brothers to talk about this shit.
Yeah.
Just to get their perspective.
Like Juan Brown?
No, not him in particular.
Okay.
But just to get their perspective, right? And to, like, try to, like, and I need, like, sometimes you need to understand it from someone else's end, right?
100%.
And that's the thing. Like, I'm always one of those types. I love to find middle ground with somebody I might necessarily agree with on a lot of things.
Yeah.
Like, there's middle ground I could be found with a leftist, right?
Communist.
Every
communist.
We can find a good space to come to the middle on something. Like, you know, most leftists, I'm sure we could both agree, like, fuck rich people.
I mean, I don't...
Like, fuck them, for real.
I don't really agree with that.
Listen, man.
No.
Okay. Let me rephrase that. I don't like them pretending that they're anything like us.
I agree.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They're not us.
That's fine.
They don't understand our struggles. They don't understand our plight.
I'm not mad that they're rich, though.
Like, and the idea of some rich motherfucker trying to, like, back up socialist agendas and shit, knowing full well, they'll never have to live like we live. Like, I saw something just the other day where Jim Carrey was talking, and like I said, we got to separate the art from the artist, right? Mm. Jim Carrey was talking about how great medicine was in Canada, and someone stitched it, and they're like, what the fuck is this dude talking about? Yeah. Like, he's so out of touch with, like, what the common man has to deal with.
Yeah.
That, like...
Common man is going to have to wait 6 months for a fucking cancer scan.
A common man in Canada is going to get told you probably should just go ahead and kill yourself instead of seek treatment for something.
Oh, man, we should have done a show on that shit. Did you ever listen to that? Fucking... You know when you call, like... I'm sorry to interrupt. It's not 911. It's their version of 911.
Mm-hmm.
You call in, and one of the options is suicide service.
That's fucking...
That's great. How fucking easy it is. Like, that's fucking bananas.
So...
Jim Carrey should use that.
Like I said, it's so... Like, they're so... like, when it comes to rich people, like I said, I can come across that. Like, they're so out of touch.
Yeah.
Like, don't pretend for a second. Like, and don't try to, like... They talk about, like... You know, they're so... Like, a lot of celebrities and stuff, they're so left-leaning and stuff. And it's like, you're so disingenuous with your fucking beliefs. Because... Like, in these systems that you purport, first of all, there's only two ways this is going to go. Either you're going to lose everything you got and you got to live on our level, which that's not going to fucking happen. Or two, you're never going to live on our fucking level and you'll never understand it. And you're only going to make it worse with your fucking bullshit rhetoric. You know what I mean? Like I feel like we could come together on that. I'm not the biggest fan of the fucking ultra rich.
I guess, I mean, here's my thing. I'm forever infatuated with, and I think you'll agree with me once you read. Ogmandingo is the world's greatest salesman. Did you make it to the choice I asked you about yet? Mm-mm. Okay. So, in that book...
The greatest salesman in the world.
Yes. Sorry. Ogmandingo is the greatest salesman in the world. Is that what it's called?
Ogmandino.
Ogmandino.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me pause real quick.
I have it pulled up.
I want to make sure...
Because I was listening to it earlier.
I hope to God I didn't send you the wrong one.
This one, right here. Greatest salesman in the world. It's this right here.
So, that's one of the greatest books ever written. Change my mind when you're done. But...
It's got some real, like, deep alchemist vibes to it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just from, like, because I was sitting doing my wood burning earlier, listening to it.
Where are you at in it, real quick?
I don't, man, I'm only, like, 30 minutes in right now. Like, so, he's talking about back in the day, and he was, like, I guess an apprentice under another dude, and he sent him out to sell a robe, and he gave the robe.
So you know the robe story.
Yeah, he gave the robe to the...
Go ahead. Spoiler alert.
That's okay. Old. So basically, like,
give it to the people.
This dude's telling. He's telling another guy.
He did a masterful job. How
he became like the world's greatest salesman, right?
Yeah.
And
he's got like he has a whole bunch of like merchants. He's like super rich. He lives in a giant bazaar. Like, not a castle. But
dude's made
like a mansion.
Yeah. So he's telling this guy how his story, basically. Mm. And he explains to them, like, he was an apprentice under the world's greatest salesman, right? And he, like, was wanting, he wanted to marry this girl, but she was way above his station.
Yeah.
Like, basically, like, his boss told him, this ain't gonna happen if you're just gonna keep being a fucking, what do you call him? I'm gonna say the wrong thing, and it's gonna be really offensive.
You gotta quit being a fucking Goomba.
It had to do with camels, like a camel. Like it wasn't a camel jockey, but
camel herder.
Like it was something like that, right?
Yeah, right.
He's like, if you don't want to be that for the rest of your life, to be
fair, it's Middle Eastern, so
yeah. He's like, you don't want to be that. You gotta like, you know, I can help you.
Yeah, you gotta get your mind right.
He's like, yeah. So here's what I'm gonna do. You're gonna give me this piece of silver, and I'm going to sell you this robe for said piece of silver, and then when you come back. I'm going to give you your money back.
He virtually gave it to him on a loan.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah, more or less. Like, you need to sell this thing to get the money back.
Wasn't it like he asked him for, I forget exactly, but it was like, I'll give it to you for a silver, but I want 10 in return.
Yeah. So he goes out and tries to sell it, and the dude tells him to go to Bethlehem. He's like, go to Bethlehem. He goes to Bethlehem. They're on bad times because... Caesar's come through, collected their taxes. Nobody's got money. Nobody's fuck selling.
Yeah.
Nobody's selling. He can't sell this thing. He keeps trying to sell it, and people are like, sorry, man. Like,
I don't want that
robe,
bro.
I don't have any fucking...
You're not selling
he's
it
like,
to me.
He's like, if you come back in a week, I can buy it from you, but I can't buy it right now. And that's the thing. It was on a timeline. Like, yeah. he couldn't just fucking...
Can't wait.
Can't wait. So, like, he's like all distraught. And this is about as far as I got. Like, I didn't get much further than this. Yeah. Well, no. I know what happens next. He comes across the manger scene, right?
Yeah.
And
Joseph and Mary and a baby.
And he finds that they don't have a fucking anything to dress him in.
Yeah. To swaddle the babe.
So he gives him, and they don't have any money to give him.
And for he basically the gives up.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, the right thing for me to do is give it to them because they need it.
So he gave him the robe.
Is it as far as you made
That's
it?
As far as I made it.
Oh my God.
I didn't get any further. So listen, with babies around, man, I can't help it. I get distracted.
Fuck.
I'll probably be listening to it again tomorrow. But
you're going to.
Which that, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, the book was good so far.
Can I spoil it for you?
No, I don't. I want to read it, man. I want to read it. Okay, fine. Tell me what happened.
No.
Okay.
I mean, I'll bastardize it, but I think the people want to know.
Okay.
And right. I kind of want to allude to the thing I told you yesterday.
Okay. All right.
I gave you enough time.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
It's fine.
I love you.
I love you too.
But so I won't ruin how that ends.
Okay.
But it ends majestically.
Uh huh.
His writing is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he does. Like I said, I'm going to bastardize it, and I'll redact a lot, like the FBI or the CIA in the JFK assassination files that were released, but. So the guy who is talking to the man who is now the richest man,
yeah,
or the greatest salesman in the world, At some point, he is introduced to this guy's... He has a secret room. No one's allowed in.
Yeah, yeah. I got to that part.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
He takes him in. Did he tell you what's inside the chest?
There's, like, scrolls.
Scrolls.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, here's the fucky part. So, this book, man, is, like... You guys can't see it, but it's not very thick.
Yeah.
It's, like... thinner and smaller than The Alchemist.
Yeah.
Which is a short read.
Yeah, both are very good short read.
Excellent great. Fucking short read.
Great storytelling.
If you haven't read The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho or this book, you need to fucking get on that shit.
Yeah.
Before you can't buy things from Amazon because the world's ending.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the challenge is this. It's not necessarily a challenge. He says, if you want to become the greatest salesman in the world, you have to do it exactly as I tell you. So, but especially where you're doing an audio form, because I read it.
Yeah.
And I haven't finished it yet.
Oh, okay.
Because I haven't committed the time.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot. But, like, as an audio form, I imagine it's a lot harder to, like, stop because you're like, fuck, it's only an hour long. Maybe I'll just listen to it one way through and then I'll go back.
Yeah.
But he wants you to read every scroll, and I forget how many there are, 10 maybe?
I thought there were 7.
Maybe 7. 7 yeah. Sounds better. He wants you to spend 30 days on each scroll. He wants you to read them when you wake up in the morning. I think it's once at midday, silently to yourself.
Yeah.
And then he wants you to read it aloud to yourself at night before you go to bed. Every day for 30 days. And that's when you move on to the next scroll. And man, those fucking scrolls hit fucking different. Mm. They are some shit. Sorry, I went off on a tangent.
That's good. So that's how he wants you to do it then. That's kind of harder in audio form.
That's what I'm saying.
I might have to get a hard copy of it.
I've got one if you want it.
I might need it. I'm going to do it that way.
So good. I think I sent you pictures of it before when I was going through it the first time.
But yeah, like I said, I hadn't finished that story yet.
Not to, we're going to double back around.
But that sold, that story, just that, the beginning, like how it's going, it sold me already.
Oh, so good. I would like to talk about, once you've read it, or, you know, stop to do the challenge or whatever, and see where you're at. I mean, you can't compare a diamond to a sapphire.
Yeah.
But, like, I want to know which one you like better.
Okay.
Between that and The Alchemist. I feel like we can circle back a little bit to shit on the cops more toward the end, but, like...
I am a huge fan of The Alchemist, though, for real.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Like I said, I can't... I wish we had a store where we sold it. Like, for no commission, just so people would get it.
Like, you know how, like, I wish you could have been there.
Everyone should read those books.
I wish you could have been there at the lodge meeting when that one officer for his LEO decided to read a passage from The Alchemist.
Yeah.
And I was like, and there's a few brother, like, when he's like, I'm going to read this passage from this book called The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho.
If you feel like all of them knew what it was? Or
I looked around, like, I was like,
I want to know. Because
I was pumped. I was like,
yeah, who knows?
And there was a couple dudes who, like, got it. They were like, oh, yeah.
That's fucking great.
They're like, fucking yeah. Like, because he kind of, like, abridged it with the idea that, like, you know, when we're talking about alchemy, we're not talking, like,
yeah,
it's all symbolism.
Speculative.
It's speculative yeah. alchemy. Like, and that's what how he like
yeah.
That's how he approached it. He's like,
what so I'm sure I asked you this before, but what did he read from it?
It was, if memory serves me correctly, it was the conversation between the main character and I can't remember fucking old man, like the old man that he fucking apprenticed under.
The yeah. Alchemist.
Yeah, I think it was the Alchemist.
Yeah, it's just The Alchemist.
I think. Like, it's a passage from that. I'd have to go through and find it. I feel like if I went through and read it or picked it up, I could probably find you what passage he was reading from.
Yeah.
But, like, that was so cool. That was so fucking cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's funny, too, because it ties into the whole speculative side. That's fantastic. Yeah. While we're on, are you done with that? I'll wait if you're not.
Oh, no, I'm good.
So, speaking of book talk on the Bones and Tubs podcast just curious, what did you think about Stephen Pressfield's The War of Art?
Listen, technically everybody's a creative.
Everyone.
So everybody should go out there and read it.
Everyone is amazing.
But if you find yourself to be a creative, somebody that likes to create things, you probably need to go ahead and read that book. And you're probably going to have the same reaction I did when I first started reading it, which was like,
how far were you in and what did you feel?
Existential dread.
Yes. But don't let that turn you off to it.
No, though. Don't let you... Like, I... And it's such a weird thing because it's like, I felt like after like existential dread and I felt like a failure. But the fucked up part is the dude's trying to tell you don't feel like a failure.
That's just resistance.
It's just, yeah, that's just more resistance, cocksucker. Yeah. You feel like a failure because I'm telling you like what the actual disease is. Not the, and like, it's like he explains it as resistance is the disease. Here are the symptoms.
He unmasked what's been happening to you in your entire life. And your first gut reaction is the disease being like, fuck.
Like, I didn't
turn
like,
it up.
And not even, I think, like, the realization is the fact that you didn't know that, you, like, because he mentioned, like I said, he mentions these symptoms and you're like, check, check, check. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, shit. These are all symptoms, but I never saw them as symptoms because I just thought this was like, this is just normal. No, it's not.
Right.
It's a disease.
Yeah, so what he's talking about is Stephen Pressfield, right?
Stephen Pressfield, yes.
Yeah, so what did it for me was he's been on Joe Rogan a couple of times, and listen to those interviews if you're interested. But Joe talks about how much he loved it, how much it changed his life. And I listened to it like the first time, and I was like, man, I need to check that book out. And I just kind of forgot about it. The second time I listened to the second episode, I was like, I went and bought it instantly on Audible.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to this thing, and like you said, I'm at work just fucking off, like doing my thing, working, and it punched me in the chest like a sledgehammer, like you're a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
You know? And it goes through all these reasons as to why you're not at your full potential is because you allow your creative force to be stopped by the universal force of resistance. And that comes in the form of being like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Or this happened, I can't do it right now. Or any fucking excuse you can think of, and some you can't think of, will try to stop you from doing the thing you want to do to create.
You know what almost makes me think of is that it's almost like you want to put a different name on it. It's the limit. It's the opposed.
Yeah.
It's Satan.
Opposition.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's literally, it's Satan.
Right.
Not literally, but you get what I'm saying.
What like, is it?
What if it is? Like... Listen, when you're working on these extra-dimensional levels, what if the fuck it is? What if it fucking is,
man? Here's the thing I'll say about that, and I'm not talking about some guy who's a fucking in a cluck, and I'm not talking about some Catholic Church bullshit where you fucking fear some guy that's going to torture you for all eternity. You're going to torture yourself through his means of like convincing you to be lazy or convincing you not want to do something or thinking you're not good enough. And explain to them, because you read it sooner, so I'm sure you could do a better job than me, how he talks about the difference between an amateur and a professional.
Okay, so...
That blew my fucking mind.
Yeah. So a professional approaches creativity and doing something as a job.
Pretty much like a 9-to-5.
Like it's a 9-to-5. You have... You like... You have to do it, right?
You have to.
You have to do it.
There are no sick days.
Like he basically put it like this. Like he fucking goes in there. He fucking... Regardless, like the way he put it, and mind you, he's a writer. We know that, right?
Yeah.
So he goes in 4 hours.
I'm setting
once
down.
Once that fucking 4 hours is done, he types and types and types and types. Once that 4 hours is up, he's done.
You can
he's
apply like, that to anything.
And he says, how many pages would I write? And he says, doesn't matter. Yeah. He's like,
Doesn't matter if it was one.
Was it any good? Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. You did it.
You did it. You and went that in. You
ties
fucking,
in.
You grinded for 4 hours.
With the opposing force. This goes with your Satan idea, right?
Yeah.
It goes with the opposing force, which is good, which is the muse. And that goes like back into, we're just on book talk all of a sudden, but we've talked about Stephen King's book on writing before, where he talked about enticing the muse, where you have to show up the same time every day in the same place and do your creative thing. Because that's how you let the muse know that you're there. And once you've shown commitment, the muse will come and just plant an idea in your head.
I thought about Stephen King a lot while I was reading this book. And back to things that he said in On Writing. And how Stephen King, I mean, obviously, he's a pro.
Mm-hmm.
He is a fucking pro.
Just don't read his Twitter.
Through and fucking through. Yep. Well, we talked to
art. I understand.
Art from artist. Art from artist.
Like, this is to them.
Yeah.
You know.
But like, he's a fucking pro.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and there's so many other things to take away from that. Like, we were talking about last night, the idea of, like, when you're a pro and you're engaging the muse, you're not a hack.
Right.
You're not caring what other people, like, you're not writing for someone else. You're writing for you.
Right.
Right. Like, the inspiration is coming from God to you. You are creating this thing, right?
Mm.
And by committing it pen to paper or whatever, you are giving the fucking sacrifice to, back, yeah, like, to the muse.
Well, if you look too, it's like the spirit of the muse. I don't want to religify it with, like, Satan and God and stuff like that. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm just saying, like, the way that I look at it also is, like, you have that negative opposing force, the opposition, right? And then you have the creative force, which is the opposite, the yin-yang, yeah, of it all. And the muse, once you've shown dedication, will give you, and it's just like Stephen King talked about in On Writing, like, I didn't write any of these books. They're already written. Your job as a creative professional,
yeah,
is to, like, use the tools that you garner in your practice to unearth these fossils. Sometimes you come back with a tiny little fossil. Sometimes you come back with a full fucking skeleton.
And it's about embracing, like, you kind of, like, it's hard to describe, but you have to, like, it's almost like you have to kind of trust fall yourself a little bit into, like, you know what I mean?
The process.
Like, yeah.
You have, like, to just do it, like he said. Yeah. Doesn't matter if it's good.
That's, and
you
that's
have to, like, dedicate it.
I've been in that groove before.
Yeah.
Listen, that groove is a, like,
fuck, we all live there pretty much.
And the thing is, though, but that's the difference, though, is, and I think this goes back to the pro amateur thing, is that even if you're in that groove, you're vibing.
Mm-hmm.
Once that time limit's up, it's done.
Yeah.
You don't push through.
I keep giving you I keep changing the subject with the muse, but the amateur, I found this really interesting because he talked about the amateur as a guy, and I've seen it in every fucking field of creation, even in some, like, working professions or just everyday life for people, where they identify themselves as a thing. You know, example, a writer, a parent, insert fucking thing here that you can, yeah, put your energy towards and create something amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And they identify with that profession so much that they allow that to be like, well, I'm not done with it yet because it's not ready. Motherfucker, it doesn't have to be
ready. Well, that's another thing he talks about, is the idea that you got to be okay with criticism.
Right.
You got to, like,
that's one of the pitfalls.
Critic's going to critic. And he kind of puts it best when it comes to critics. Like, all critics are doing is pointing out that they were too chicken shit to do it themselves.
Yeah. Isn't there a saying, like, in there somewhere that has to do with teaching? Like, fuck, I'm not going to remember it. Maybe I'll trigger your memory. But, like, some people that can do things do, but people who can't do things teach.
I don't know. See, I mean, I guess. But to me,
I don't mean that as a teacher profession. But I mean, like, you know, the teachers that are just disinterested, that are doing it for a paycheck.
That, or, like, I point it more towards the critics, people who are negative about it and stuff like that.
That's what,
because
I mean,
though. All they're saying by critiquing your work is saying that they were too chicken shit to do it themselves.
But they're a professional, so they can shit on you, basically, right? But I'm saying, like, teachers, like the ones that you wanted to have a conversation with or a debate, and they're like, if it's not in the fucking book, it's not for discussion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not actually teaching. They're just regurgitating, like, shit.
They're just they're teaching out of the textbook.
They're doing it for a paycheck.
Yeah. Instead of, like, yeah, there's plenty of teachers out there, I feel like, that are inspired.
Plenty of any profession. Think about nurses, cops that kick the shit out of black people to death.
Jesus.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not out there doing their best work, or they're not involving themselves in whatever it is creatively to become the best version of themselves. They're doing it for a paycheck. Or they're doing it because they're, I mean, I don't know how to, I don't know. I'll think of a better way to say it when I'm editing, and then it's too late. That's how it always is.
I would highly suggest The War of Art by Pressfield.
Yeah.
Very good.
On Writing by Stephen King. The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho.
I just finished The Meaning of Masonry by W.L. Wilmhurst. Anybody that's a brother out there going through...
I'm surprised we haven't gotten any messages from any of the brothers.
Going through the degrees.
Yeah.
I would highly, highly suggest reading. It's just print. It's a book of collected lectures by the writer about the degrees, about the real in depth stuff in the degrees.
Mm.
Right, like it gets in there.
Perspective.
Let me tell you this right now. You reading it, because of what I know you know, you wouldn't get a lot out of it. You know a lot of it already. You know what they're getting at.
You think mostly from Passiao, or how do you mean?
Oh, this dude was like from the 1920s.
No, I meant like,
yeah.
I won't gain a lot because of my like fucking autistic obsession with Passiao.
Yeah, pretty much. A lot of it. There are, you will pick up some shit.
There's though, always something to learn.
That Passiao might have left out on purpose, or he never got to that aspect of right. it. But
decided to rage out instead.
Yeah, but there, it is a very meaningful read in the understanding of what you're in.
Yeah, what you're trying to do.
What you're trying to do. And it's just, it's great. It's a great book. Highly recommend it. I've got like three other masonry books on the back burner right now that I'm probably going to fire up here in the next like month or so.
Any of the Halls, the Manly P. Halls?
I've read Manly P. Hall already. You know, the thing is, like, you know what's crazy to me? And this didn't get brought to my attention until recently, is that the majority of Manly P. Hall's work, he didn't become a Mason until later in life. The majority of his work that he wrote on masonry was before he became a Mason.
Really?
Yeah.
So he was like an old school Passiao?
Yeah. Yeah,
like he learned it through
more or less, like, and like, you know, his whole collection,
that's crazy.
The secret teachings of the world and all that, like, it's very educational, but I think it's almost like I wouldn't say it's shallow. It's a little bit surface level though.
That's kind of how you want it though in the beginning,
right? In the beginning. But the thing is like what I just read, oh, it ain't shallow. This shit takes you right into the deep end. Yeah. Like, I had some really fucking...
Learn to swim.
Listening to this fucking book, I had some moments listening to it that were very, like aha, profound moments. Like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. But yeah, so I've read that, and then I'm reading The Greatest Salesman in the World. I'll probably finish that by the next time we do our next show. I'll probably have that finished in the next couple of days.
Oh, it's short.
Yeah.
If you're listening to it on a car ride, you got a 40-minute car ride, you'll probably finish it in a couple of days.
Oh, yeah. But, and then I'm probably going to move on, read some other stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of stuff in the fucking chamber right now.
I had one that I wanted to talk to you about that I'm not happy about, but I think it deserves... It's already been talked about ad nauseum, but I want to talk to you about it, and I want to talk to you about it with these robot penises in front of our face.
All right.
Genderqueer.
The book?
Yeah. I ended up buying it from a secondhand. That way they didn't get
printed. That's the one that's like a comic, and it's got like...
We listen.
Dudes blowing dudes in it and stuff. Like.
Listen, no, we'll talk about it. But okay. I'm going to finish it. I'm going to give it to you. And you're going to have a different perspective when you get done reading it. And it's not going to be a good one.
Okay.
It's going to be all sad feels. I think.
Not. I just look at it and it makes me wonder if I'm going to get angry reading it.
You're going to get angry.
Okay.
Righteous anger.
What's going to make me the angriest? The idea that this is supposed to be a book for children? Like.
Well. I'm going to say this, and then I'm not sure if it's going to make the episode. So if it doesn't make the episode, sorry, guys. We'll get there when we get there.
Okay.
It's I'm still cooking it in my mind.
Okay.
I've had to fucking rage put it down several times. Mm-hmm. I'm only about a quarter or a third of the way through it. But I'm fucking mad the entire time I read this cock-sucking book.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only... Okay. Not only is it what we already know it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's directed at children and placed in high schools and middle school libraries, right? Which is, it's ultimately whatever. Fuck. Yeah. Like, if you want to fucking, I get it. I don't know. We've talked about it before. Where, like, I don't want to ban a book. I don't want to burn a book. I think you have to be, there has to be some sort of a control over what you teach at home and what you teach in the from the fucking government, right? into an impressionable mind who's not even developed until, let's see, 5 years after they graduate.
Yeah.
This fucking book attacks traditional lifestyle in every way possible. Not, and you know, you and I disagree, I guess, on the whole racial thing, but I won't have, if I can help it, I don't want my daughter or my son with a, like a, I don't, I, whatever, I get it. I feel both ways. I understand both sides. It's just a personal thing.
Yeah.
But like, there's a part in the book where it starts out, and it's so crazy how kind of good it is in a way from their perspective of like shitting on our lives.
Yeah.
We want a traditional family, mm-hmm. wife, husband, children, traditional values, pride, and fucking do better than I did.
Yeah.
My job is to empty parts of myself into you to lift you up to be better than me, right?
Yeah.
This book tears down every aspect of that. From what I've seen so far, from every aspect, every way that you could attack this ideology of a normal life, fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a scene in there, like, so there's a girl who goes on to explain her upbringing. Her parents are survivalists. They don't want to be on the grid. They want to be off the grid.
Mm-hmm.
And they're such a shitty couple that they don't teach their daughter to read, so she can't read. I think it's like up until middle school or so.
Yeah.
So it just shits on personal. First of all, it shits on the idea that you can survive outside of society and provide for your children. So anybody that might be in that lifestyle that comes across that book is like, oh, my parents are fucking idiots trying to live off the grid.
But that's a shitty mentality. Like,
No, it's all shitty.
Not teaching your kid how to read is just being shitty parent. Right,
but like, that's how they paint it, though. They painted that in a specific way.
That's how it is.
Like, that's right? Their thing.
Like, that's a thing that they do.
Yeah. We don't need the government. I ain't going to teach you how to read.
That's horseshit. That's total fucking horseshit.
What I'm saying. So, and then you go on to it, and it talks about gender roles as far as, like, she feels like a boy a lot of the time. So, and there's like goes on through different relationships or like not relationships, but like attractions that she had, sometimes a boy, sometimes a girl. I don't know, man. I don't even know how to say it. It just makes me so angry. It puts me in a fucking tornado. But I feel like there's money. There's gold in them hills, at least for our personal fucking conversation. But there's like a fucking field trip that they go on in this because somehow they're in a public school for some reason, even though her parents were fuck ups. And didn't teach her to read, and she somehow still didn't learn to read for a while. I don't fucking know. But they go on this field trip to the beach, and her dad's out there, like, chilling on the beach because he's a hippie and a piece of shit, white man. And she's like, well, I'm going to take my shirt off because that's what I always do. And she got chastised by her teachers for taking her shirt off. So then she didn't understand. And then, like, she gets attraction to girls. But then they basically mold this child into a girl who wants to become a boy who wants to become a faggot.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be a dick sucker. There's like a whole dick sucking scene.
Uh-huh.
And she thinks about what it would be like for her to have a dick. So it shows this child sitting down with like, it's like weeds or something, like a cock.
Uh-huh.
And they're like thinking about dry humping a dude. And then there's like a part where one time her sister had her boyfriend come home. And then it shows him injecting testosterone into his stomach because he's in transition.
Because
it's actually a girl. It's like every fucking aspect of normal, heteronormal life is under attack in this fucking book. And they're putting this shit
and it sounds like,
out of our reach in our children's schools.
It sounds like they're cherry picking
all the things.
Like all the, like I said, shitty parents that don't teach their kids how to read.
Yeah,
like,
but they take all the shitty things and they put them on us. Or people like us.
And say that we're all just like that.
Anybody who's like that thinks this way, or this is the outcome. It further divides the issue that you already have as a teenager, where you're not an adult, you're not a child, you're trying to push away from your parents, but you're still dependent. So the only aspect you can have at that time is to kind of join a clique, or join a group, join the group, and then further divide yourself from your parents' guidance. And fuck that book. But sorry, I don't know if that's going to make it or not, but
yeah,
I think we should, I'm going to finish it and then I'll give it to you. And if you'd like to talk about it, I would enjoy talking about it.
Okay.
I hope that made it in, but
yeah,
upon further review, it might not.
Maybe some of it might get cut out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least.
But
what are your thoughts though? I mean, it's fucking bad.
It sounds like they do what they always do. They cherry pick like the worst aspects of, like, not even the aspect. It's not an aspect of survivalists to not teach their children how to read.
No, it's like the worst.
That's dumb. Like they like most like people who either homeschool or keep their or more about like not letting the government intervene in their children's lives.
Yeah.
Are trying to teach them how to be independent and be able to do things on their own, yeah. Right? So how is not teaching them how to read part of that doesn't make any sense to me. You're not going to
fucking, yeah. Like, I'm sure there's pieces of shit in every walk of life, but they basically took out every piece of shit thing you could imagine, and they put it into that heteronormative lifestyle. But
like, that's like me writing a book about how gay people are bad and writing it about those two dudes that just got caught molesting their adopted son and pimping him out. Like, that's literally like the same, like me taking one specific example
and putting it on everyone
and putting it on all of them and saying, this is all of them. They all do that. No, I know they don't all do fucking that.
That goes back to that whole thing where it's like the only class of people who can be just abused and smacked around are whites, you know, white, normal, you know.
I don't even like to use that term.
You're right. Hold on. It's like they use the whole, it's like a Caucasian, if you're not, you know, fitting their script, then you're the enemy. There is no, like, cohesion. There's no melting pot.
All I know is that I was told from a young age that if you wanted to find out who was in power, find out who you can't criticize. And I'm here to tell you now, the amount of fucking shit that fucking white people have been catching for the last fucking 5-6 years, there ain't no motherfucking way that we're really the ones in power. I'll tell you that right fucking now.
No, but we do have a special guest here, and we wanted to wait till now to tell you guys, and we're going to actually unmask the person you can't talk about. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Kanye West, everyone.
Oh, shit. It's good to have you on the show, Kanye.
He's just wearing a mask. Oh,
he's being shy. But I don't know, man.
He's over there silently with our silent Jew lawyer.
I'll have to read it angrily.
Oh, man. See, I'm like I said, I only made it to a certain point, and I put it down for over a week because I got to a point where they started using that fake shit, that Zizure.
Oh, God.
They hit every fucking button. This is the lowest my heart rate has been all week, too, by the way. Look at this. Resting heart rate, 83.
Nice.
I've been rocking between 100 and 120 resting heart rate in the normal world. Now, in this room.
This den of peace.
I wish I had like a... I'm going to have to find a clip of that gay guy. The black dude in the church. I've been delivered! Delivered!
I don't want to sleep with the men's no more.
I don't want to carry a purse no more. That's what it is. I get in here and I can get naked. I can carry a purse and I'm just comfortable.
Yeah. I think that about wraps it up for us, doesn't it?
This is a good one.
We'd like to thank y'all for listening. We'd like to thank Blood of the Brave.
Blood of the Brave. Anarchist rapper. I had a dream about him the other night, too.
Yeah.
Which is weird. He told us he didn't want us to use his music anymore because he didn't like our show.
Aww.
It made me sad.
Aww.
But anyway, Blood of the Brave.
I hope that's not true.
I hope not. Blood of the Brave. Anarchist rapper. Instagram.com/ Blood of the Brave. Twitter, a.k.a. Kyle the Reese, Blood of the Brave. Pretty much everywhere. You can find him on Bandcamp. Buy his album. Send him some monies. Let him know that Bones and Tubbs sent you. He does our intro and outro music. Mm-hmm.
There's ways to get a hold of us.
We are on Twitter at Bones Tubbs, soon to be blue check marked because they're about to segregate the anonymous, what they call people without blues, and the ones with blues.
Oh, okay.
You just can't get it without an iPhone, and I ain't on that communist shit.
Yeah.
Instagram.com/ Bones and Tubbs.
Bones and Tubbs at Gmail.
For longer form.
Yeah.
Telegram and TikTok.
Yeah. We'd like to thank y'all for listening. We hope you guys enjoyed the show. We hope you tune in next time, and between now and then, we hope you stay safe.
We love you. When they take it on the ground, do it, but they probably won't save you.
We really do.
I'm not tough.
You hear that?
I'm not that strong.
They rolled up in all black. Windows have cracked. Scoping out the scene before they attack. Had they on bad guys in most people's eyes. Most trust them with their life cause they got a badge of tie. Gifted a position given to them by a system. Has set it all up to put the kids into prison. This is
non-fiction, non-violent, so just listen. They got a mission to imprison your mind and soul. This ain't nothing new, but we survive what we're sold. And don't believe in ourselves, but believe what we're told. And we're all molded by a machine that gets in your dreams. It can get in your gut and kill your self-esteem. And I've been scolding and told who I should be, but I'll never conform. I was born to be free. It's a setup, and never let up. From the cradle to the grave, they got you in a cage. It's a setup, so keep your head up, cause they're selling all that doubt with every word out the mouth. It's a setup, and never let up. From the cradle to the grave, they got you in a cage. It's a setup, so keep your head up, cause they're selling all that doubt with every word out the mouth. Giving up is a birth, yeah, that's a fact. Deny it if you want, but I'll do the math. I face facts and understand how to overstand the plan with my mind intact. And I got more than a plan, I got hope and belief, dreams and faith, and know damn well that's what they want to take. It's a weapon, it's a weapon. Fear is aggression, and they plant it in our minds to the point we can't find a way out, a way in. And anywhere you go, you'll see a many men over there and everywhere. They're armed and prepared to do whatever it takes. They don't play fair, that's a jump out boys with the plastic toys draped in all black, ready to bring the noise. It's a setup, and never let up. From the cradle to the grave, they got you in a cage. It's a setup, so keep your head up, cause they're selling all that doubt with every word out the mouth. It's a setup, and never let up. From the cradle to the grave, they got you in a cage. It's a setup, so keep your head up, cause they're selling all that doubt with every word out the mouth.